old school. Used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, nah, everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. Yep, he's old school. Yep, used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, now everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, log on. Log on. BobbyBuck.com.
All right, there we go. We're back here for the third show, the Bobby Buck Show. And today, we're going to speak with my Positive Action Movement business partner. She's got some things to relay to people that she has been going through. Well, it's over with now, but for the past over a year, she has been going through something that's going to shock a lot of people. And she's going to shed a whole new light and a brand new awareness, talking about homelessness of women and children. And right now we're going to go ahead and speak with Ms. Shauna Sterling. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed.
You're very.
And I'm happy to be here once again.
All right. We got you here. You're our feature tonight. But also we got in here Mr. Robert Herbert over there on the side. And Coach Ron, the one and only. Then we got OG man, Manuel Capito.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Then we got my man Quick. And I can't remember. What's your name again?
Shrina.
All right. Don't be shy. That mic right there. pull it closer. Or you just move up. There you go.
Shrina.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, we're going to have a good little time tonight. And we're going to talk about a few things before I go ahead with the business, talking about the real business of homelessness. I recently went to a CD release party for my man, Jamie Rare Breed from Ceasefire. And this is his CD that he's released, Hip Hop Gospel.
Yes.
Gospel for the streets.
Yeah.
Gospel for the blocks. You know what I'm talking about? So, yeah, he's doing a lot of good positive things, real good positive action, you know. Then also, I got a product I'm going to bring to you ladies, and also for you men, too. Got something for men with bald heads. You know, I got something coming in. you can work it. It's skin serenity. It's going to help you out. It's going to help you out.
Okay.
Then also, I've been working with Reverend Al Thompson. Okay. Reverend Al Thompson, not the other one.
Oh, right.
And he's also working on his gospel album. He got some gospel funk music for you. And it's grooving.
God.
So there we go. All right. So we got anybody else got anything y'all want to promote while we at it right now?
Yes, we have the world famous 3-on-3 street basketball championship game that's going to be played at world famous Gladys Park, 808 East 6th Street here in world famous Skid Row, California, 12 to 2 p.m.
All right. I'll be ready for that tomorrow.
Well, you know, this is a little far off. Not really far. We're talking about December. We're going to have that Skid Row Positive Movement fundraising. You know, we're supposed to go down October, but we're going to move it back.
Right.
Which means some of you guys that wasn't in it, you're going to be able to get it. Okay?
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
All right. So pray to God. You got to move back.
Yeah, I think I heard Shauna can sing, too. Let me see.
Okay.
Yeah. But Shauna's going to have a booth for something there, ain't she?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so she's going to be there.
Okay, all right. Y'all remember that now. Go push the date back. We're still having that Skid Row Positive Movement fundraiser, so y'all got more time to get your funds ready.
Get your ducats ready.
Right on.
Right.
All right, now. So now we go take it on back, get a little serious here about the situation of homelessness with the children and the parents. So, Ms. Sterling, people wouldn't even imagine that you were that person out there.
I was just that person up until July of this year.
Yeah.
Hey.
And so now I have my own address. I have a permanent address. I have a pad.
Yeah.
I have a lodging. Me and my daughter have, you know, our own now.
Yeah.
So about that situation, explain to people how that came about you becoming homeless.
Well, you never, when you hear a person is homeless, the first thing you do is you think about somebody who has the matted up hair.
Yeah.
Dirty face.
Yeah.
Pushing a shopping cart, you know, yep. Sleeping on Skid Row. Or just sleeping in the streets, period. You think of somebody on that street corner selling dope just so he can get a hit or even just to feed his family.
Yeah.
Same with that woman. She's out selling her body. You think that she's doing that just so she can get a hit. Or, you know, she might be trying to just feed her kids, and that's all they know how to do. But just think about it. You know, what about that woman who's working two jobs just to make ends meet? What about that person sleeping from relative's house to relative's house to this friend's house to this friend's house, that's sleeping homeless. On the floor on the couch?
That's homeless.
Guess what? That was me. Working two jobs just to keep ends meet, trying to save money just so I can get me and my daughter housing. So I called down to certain shelters, and because of the age of my daughter, they wanted to separate us. I'm not getting ready to have that, because I don't know what might happen if my daughter is on another floor in a building away from me. Or people have gotten comfortable in those situations and they stay. And it's just really no help for single mothers.
Entire family.
No help. Everybody's, you know, booked. There's no bed. There's no lodging for you. It's really no help. So I had no other choice but to go down and ask family members and friends, can I stay?
Right,
and
get
them, you know, a little change for me and my daughter being here.
Right.
And then on top of it, I was diagnosed about a year and a half ago with a disease called, or disorder, let's not call it a disease, a disorder called lupus. And that was another thing that I had to be careful with, because just a common cold to someone that's so-called normal could send me into a flare-up and could possibly make me have to be in the hospital. And then where's my daughter?
Right.
You know, my daughter, they're not going to let my daughter stay in the hospital with me. So I had to think about things like that. What put me in that situation is that, one, my credit was not good. Two, I lost my father. And we as people, when we have something, we don't think about, if something happens to me, what's going to happen to that property?
Right.
And it wasn't situated good to the point to where it would just roll over to me. So I had to fight for it, and I eventually lost that battle. And that's what put me into homelessness. In between all of that, though, I had a nonprofit called the Sterling Family Youth Foundation, where I was going out educating individuals on the harmful effect of drugs and ways to be happy. And who am I to say it's a way to be happy and I don't have a permanent address? But, you know, through God's grace, he allowed me to stay strong and to keep going. And just to take that and say, okay, why am I going through this? Okay, I know why I'm going through this, so I can do something about it. It's time to put those words out there that you have a lot of homeless people that something drastic or even something small happened in their life where they were put out. It could be the loss of a job. It could be depression behind losing a loved one, a kid, your parent. Anything could send you into homelessness. And people need to be aware of that. If you don't have something that says your name and you have that key, you are homeless.
Right on.
That's very true.
Yeah, I once heard Steve Harvey say something about, for all you players who sitting up on your couch or your woman's house, you're homeless.
I used to be a player
sitting like that too, so I was homeless.
You pointed out some key things, though, that you know, we always talk about those building blocks like family and friends. That plays a key role in what you need, a support system. You know, and it goes back to that. So you know, you got to thank God. You know, some people, you know, again, we found some people ain't got no family.
Right.
Some people don't have the slightest idea what family is.
Or what it means.
Yeah. Or friend. Right. You know, so those are kind of things that we really got to emphasize, you know, in terms of education. You know, and it begins in the family, too. You know.
Right.
Because I remember when we was kids, you do something around the block,
You get
home, you get beat up again. You know what I mean? You're around the block. It always say it take a village to raise a child.
Right.
You know, and that's very true. But so, you know, like some people, they have children, but they never gave them building blocks. And they just like let them loose on the neighborhood. It's like a pack of wood. You know what I'm saying? For right. real.
Yeah, it is real.
Like a pack of wood.
It's real.
You know what I'm saying? So,
it's real.
So, yeah.
It's real.
The other thing, too, about the homeless, when you talk about that, everybody don't fit into those categories. And one of the problems is nobody has really analyzed the homeless, because you got the mentally ill there.
Right.
You got drug addiction, you know what I'm saying? You got people that don't have no education, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's very key right now. And one of the things just got found out, they said that the board of commissioners for the neighborhood council said that they failed. They failed.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. You got SCI saying they failed. You know, you know, you got all these different Operation Healthy Street talking about they failed.
Right.
You know, and so I was telling somebody about the domino effect, because the whole structure around the homeless was to put them in Skid Row. All the homeless from everywhere would be in Skid Row, and they would put all these institutions that would provide them services. Mm-hmm. Be right there. Right there. And it sounded like, that was the first policy, you know what I'm saying, called a containment area. So that policy itself failed, and everything else after that was going to fall. It was like a domino effect.
Right.
Like a straight domino effect. So the homeless, really, because what you just said, there's a lot of talented people in that group called homeless.
Yep.
They got skills, lost their job, and you know they got a lot of education, a lot of skills, and they can run their own thing. They need to have their own, they need to have their own hotels or lofts.
Right.
They own daycare, laundromat, cafe.
Right.
All the things that anybody's supposed to have. The homeless are going to have to come together, right. You know what I'm saying, financially. You know, they're going to do their little nickels and dimes, you know what I'm saying, tubes and fuses, and do their own thing. And that's a good thing to have been forced in that corner. You know, to realize you have to do for self.
That's where it starts. It starts with self.
Yeah.
It starts with self, and once you start with self, then you can, the domino effect, like you said, then now it can trickle on down. I can actually help somebody who may not be, or who may be in a worse situation than I was in.
Yeah.
Because when you say that, you don't know. If you ride the bus, you can look at this gentleman in the three-piece suit, and that man might be homeless.
Yeah, I've seen him on the bus homeless in three-piece suit.
Yeah. Because it's weird, because I was out getting me and my daughter something to eat one day, and somebody said, "Do you have some spare change?" I said, "No, dear, I don't have any spare change." Yeah. I said, "I'm trying to feed me and my daughter." Yeah. He said, "Well, ma'am, I'm homeless." I said, "Sir, so am I."
Yeah.
And he told me I was the cleanest homeless person he ever seen.
Amen. Yeah. I remember I was homeless. I couldn't get no dollar. They said I was too sharp. You didn't look too good. Yeah, well, I want a dollar, man. You found a dollar. Where you at? And you know what? For downtown, you know, I take a lot of pride in the homeless, because they be cleaning up the streets.
That's
it look
thing.
Better. It look just like you on Main Street. You go down like on Gladys around there.
Yeah.
You know, they still mess around saying, "Dude," you know.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Yeah. That will let people know that just because they're homeless, that they still have pride.
Yeah.
Also.
But they do need housing. Go ahead.
Also that they still have their morals.
Right.
You know, ethnics.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, a lot of them, when they become homeless, they just fit in and give up. Oh, I'm going to go over here with this crowd. They quit. I'm going to quit. Instead of keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what life is basically about. You know, to keep going, because we all have stumbled, and what do we do? You get up and keep going.
Yeah.
And that's like, I'll be in Gladys Park, I maintain the park, and I deal with a lot of homeless people. And when you kind of realize that some people are homeless because they want to be homeless.
Right.
You know, and that's that giving up on themselves. They done gave up on life, like you say. Something small happened, maybe something large happened, and they just gave up. And it's like, okay, if you look at it now also, look what happened with Skid Row housing.
Yeah.
The thing that they're putting up about one of their head people has been fired.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Was some embezzlement?
Embezzlement. Yeah. How you steal from the homies?
That's what I'm saying.
See what I'm saying? How you steal from the homies?
He going to hell in a handbasket.
How do you steal from the homies?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I need money.
And when they hit you with embezzlement, that means you done took a large chunk from the homies. Hold on. Wait a minute. I got something else. What about the dumping lawsuit?
Oh, yeah.
How much is the homeless people going to get down?
Yeah, they got the money. Right. They won the Super. Who going to get the money?
Who's going to get the money?
They done chopped their money up already. We'll drive by and throw somebody else homeless out there. We'll dump somebody else. This is what y'all going to get, Skid Row.
Yeah.
We going to get somebody else and keep taking the money and doing what we want with it.
Yeah.
But see, that's another key thing we talked about a long time ago. Like, you know, the city's always talking about they don't have no money. Now, they always arresting people for drugs. You know what I'm saying? They arrest them for the drugs, they got their money.
I like this right here.
We never know how much money they took every year. Okay?
That's true.
Every year. Now, think about it. Why can't that money go, half of it go back into the neighborhood?
Hold on, wait a minute.
Even know how much money they got. They go into a different fund.
Hold on.
Okay?
Yeah, they go into my wife need a new ring. You know?
I need that Mercedes.
I done been a victim of that.
Yeah, but they threw me out. The biggest drug bust of the year, where the money? They showed me the money, huh?
What did they do with all those drugs?
They recycle the money. The money goes to the city. That's where it goes.
That's like if you look at the gun gatherings. How y'all pick up the guns and turn around somebody get arrested for the same guns you done wrote down as a turn-in?
Because it wasn't turned in. It was flipped.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's the system that we live in. It's corrupt. Right. They do as I say, but not do as I do.
Yeah.
Well, the homeless are going to have to do for themselves.
They already doing for that. Why do you think how a person feel when they truly homeless and they hungry and they down on their luck and they ask a person at a restaurant or something, they know you're going to throw this away. Excuse me, sir, can I have this?
Yeah,
I would rather ask you than steal from you.
Well, that's where we have to start educating people on that, because these people don't know, like the restaurant. They may have somebody busting their tables. That head chef might be homeless, but they don't know that. I can't go in there and say, "Hi, sir, my name is Shauna Sterling. And here's my certificate for being a chef, but I'm homeless." What they gonna do? They gonna look at me and tell me, "Get my butt up out of there."
Or my address is license plate number 623. Well, so man, that's crazy.
Yeah. We have to start educating people.
There's some tactics you can use for employment. Like if you want to work somewhere, I don't care if it's in a restaurant, just show up. Every day, just show up. Start walking around and start doing stuff, taking orders. Turn them in. You do it.
I'm just saying, we have to start educating people on that because, you know, when that guy told me I was the cleanest homeless person he ever seen, and I looked at him like, what do you mean? You know, you don't have a permanent address, neither do I.
Yeah.
But I still have to go to work every day.
You know, I have, I've been dealing with Skid Row ever since the late 80s. Early 90s, I spent a lot of time out there on the streets myself. It's one thing I can say about OG and these guys right here, man, they really made a lot of changes, I mean, for us, the community. I mean, right along with me, myself. I mean, I never knew what it was to be homeless. I mean, I came out here from New Orleans, so I never know what it was to be homeless until it happened to me. And I spent a lot of time out there, and I spent a lot of time with different people that, you know what I mean, came from all different calibers of life.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I couldn't believe, you know what I mean, that they was out there like that. You know what I mean? But I understand now. You know what I mean? Throughout my times of being homeless and being out there, you know what I mean, going through different things in life, I learn and understand, man. You know what I mean? I care about somebody just as much as I care about myself. And, you know what I mean? It made me believe that in time, man, things will get better. You know what I mean? If you just go by and give somebody a hug and tell them, ask them how they doing,
right,
that'll help them.
It goes a long way.
I mean, I never turned my back on Skid Row. Even though after I got out of Skid Row, I always come back.
Right on.
I mean, OG started doing the 3-on-3 basketball league. It's been going on almost, what, 8-9 years now? We got a lot of good people that's in there, man, contributing, doing good things. We just brought a championship back to Skid Row.
Yep.
And it's just wonderful, you know what I mean? I feel a part of something, you know what I mean? Because I had everything handed to me as a kid growing up with my family. So, you know what I mean? I never knew what it was not to have until I got on my own. Right. Being a man, you know what I mean, on my own. So OG is like a father to me. He showed me structure. Being in that caliber of life, he showed me how to have structure about myself. So, you know what I mean? I look up to him as a father to me. You know what I mean? Out here. So, and these guys, all these guys that you see here right now, I look up to all these guys because I know them from the street. You know what I mean? And I know they got good hearts also, so it makes me want to be better. So throughout the Skid Row area, you know what I mean, you got a lot of people, you know what I mean, that don't want to do nothing for themselves. You know what I mean? For whatever reason. But I don't kick anybody when they down.
Right on. Well, say that one again. Say them last few words. Say them again.
I refuse to kick anybody when they down. I don't care if you laying on the curb with one slice of bread, some dirty shoes on. I ain't gonna kick you because if I got a dollar, you got that. I mean, for
we whatever. Need more people like that.
I think we got a caller on the line right now too. Is the caller ready to go live?
Yes.
Hey, hello. Who am I speaking with?
This is Mo Light.
Mo Light, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just been listening in.
Okay, yes. I know you weren't able to make it in physically, but I know you got something, you had a story you want to share right now, don't you?
Yes, I want to share my story about my experience of being homeless. And it just started about last November when I was in Las Vegas and I was out there. I had an apartment and I was just going in trying to put in so many applications and so many interviews and I couldn't get a job. So I end up eventually losing my apartment and had to move back out here to California. And ever since I've been out here, it's been on the same struggle, still putting in applications, still trying to find a job, and I'm still in the same situation of being homeless. And now I have my 14-year-old daughter with me, and it's like I thought I would be able to get more help by having a child, and it's just the opposite. Everywhere we go, it's like nobody's telling us they won't help us. They have the funds to help us, but it seems like they refuse to help us. I went to the Family Solution Centers. They're supposed to, that's their job to help families. And I feel that they didn't help me at all. They put me up for 2 weeks and had me come back every Monday. That last Monday I went, they told me there was nothing else they could do for me but just to find somewhere to go. And if I'm telling you I have nowhere else to go, what can I do? What am I supposed to do when you have the funds to help? And you told me you had $2.7 million to help the homeless, but I feel like they're picking and choosing which families they want to help. I haven't heard from them since then. This has been in August. They're supposed to call me back with the place for me to stay. I haven't heard from them. I called the number. They done moved to a whole new location. They still haven't called me, let me know what's going on. And I'm supposed to have a case manager with the people.
Man.
Has he tried a union rescue mission?
Apparently, no, I didn't go there. But I have got some help. I'm in a little bit of better situation now. The county is helping us. They put us up in a room and stuff. They're going to help us with the move-in deposit. So if it wasn't for that coming through, then I don't know what type of situation I'd still be in.
But, you know, you kept keeping the faith because I know when I met you down there at that police rally and everything and, you know, with the stuff that you was, you know, about to start going through and everything. But like I said, just no matter what, I always keep positive thoughts in your mind and, you know, and kind of network and stuff like that.
What really helped me, I mean, cutting the body off, but what really helped me was my daughter. She had a dream. She told her, God had spoke to her in a dream and told her everything was going to be okay. And she came and told me. And after that, it seemed like everything just started falling into place for us. So
you know,
I thank her for that. Thank God for that.
Yeah, just thank the Most High. I was just about to say that. You know what I'm saying? The Most High carrying you, regardless of the stumbling blocks. You know, the Most High still carrying you. You know?
I have family members. I got so tired of telling the whole story, and they would sit there and listen to me and the whole story.
Give it to God.
And tell me that they still would help me.
Like your daughter said.
I had one family member tell me that she was getting ready to go to Jamaica for 2 weeks, and her funds was for her trip. All I asked for was $20.
Well,
give it to God. He's going to provide. He's going to provide. Don't lose your faith. Bobby Buck was just saying the same thing. Don't lose your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. Your daughter had that vision. Right. She had that vision for a reason. You know, we don't just have visions for no reason. We don't just dream about different things and the Most High giving us signs for no reason. It's a reason behind it. Put your faith in the Most High and keep on moving forward.
There you go.
Thank you.
Keep your head up, girl. Keep your head up.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times in today's time in society, like I said earlier, we have no more family morals, no more ethics, no more standards. It's no longer taught in the family, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the first person to let you down or do you wrong is your family in today's time.
That's right.
And that's bad.
But the Most High... he might not come when you want him to,
he's always on time.
He sent his message to you. Don't just keep going forward.
Yeah, that's why I said I've been doing it. I see I don't have a family to turn to help. So, and I had my own. It was my auntie. I told her the same situation. She told me it was nice to hear from me. But with my situation, she can't help me.
But listen, yeah, like what you said. Look at what you said. What you just said. You keep on moving forward.
Yep.
You keep on moving forward. You keep on moving forward. Regardless of what anybody else is doing, you keep on moving forward. You know what I'm saying? No, the Most High gonna carry you through it.
Right.
That's why I love homeless people. Because see, homeless people. God is watching over you every day. There's no way you can sleep on the back alley, in the hallway, in your automobile, you know what I mean, on the couch of your auntie, you know, because they bugging you, driving you crazy about you being there when you leaving. So all that stress that you go through, homeless people, God is watching over us, okay? That's a beautiful thing, okay? And that's why you got to keep faith. So we from Skid Row, we are holy ground. That's for real. Look at all the people that are living, going to be out there tonight.
Yep.
In the night. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the morning, too.
Thank God. I am with the chance to next sleeping so comfortably, it looks like.
Because God ain't went nowhere.
Yeah.
God ain't went nowhere.
That's right. Yeah. That's their faith.
Yeah. That's what faith keep you every night. You ain't got to worry about nobody hatching you up. You know, that's why they don't want to go to the missions. The homeless people rather sleep outside next to each other than go to the missions. Because like you say, you don't get no service.
Yep.
You go there, you don't get no service. You get drove crazy. Hair be falling out and everything. So I'm trying to get some help. So what they, homeless people got a network, you know.
Yeah.
You know, talk to other people and ask them, you know where some stuff is. I got some help one time. I was trying to find somebody. The homeless person said right over there.
And remember, you have inner strength. You have inner strength. You know, God be working through you. You got that inner strength. You got to keep on pushing forward. Regardless what you got to hear at the missions, what you got to hear at the different shelters or whatnot, regardless of what adversity what comes against you while you're trying to make it out of your present situation, no, you got that inner strength. You're strong. You're not weak. You will prevail. You will make it through.
I can feel that script right now.
Oh, Eddie, it will make you strong because I know. Yeah. Woo, it boy. That's everybody was boot camp.
You can't get
for me.
Strong if you don't go through nothing.
Right.
Yeah. I thank God for all the stuff I go through. Like, give me another one.
Yeah. And you know, the good part about experience.
Yeah, but the good part about anything, about your problems, see, God give you problems, and some problems you can't handle. Those are the ones you take to God. See, people want to handle everything, which means they want to be God. But see, God's going to give you some problems. One thing, he wants you to handle some of them. Then the ones you can't handle, you take to him. That means you recognize him, okay? Because if you go crazy over a problem, you're trying to solve it, and you can't, you're something wrong.
And then sometimes the problems in which that are presented to you are not just for you to have that learning experience, but for you to share with someone else.
Sure,
to help
right.
them
right.
along their way.
That's you know, what I was getting ready to say.
Because you're still a vessel, you're a messenger for the Most High still. You know, so just allow him to do his will and continue to do what you know you're supposed to do.
And that's why
and
I'm
I
make sure.
Think it was and, a wake-up call also, to me because I know I haven't spoke to God in a while. He said, well, if you're not going to talk to him, I'm going to do something to get
yeah.
your
attention.
Yeah, there you
now
go.
I'm going to talk to you.
You know,
then.
And
you
also
going to get your attention.
You got to also have faith enough to believe that God is not going to put nothing on you that you can't handle no way.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, you just keep moving forward. And keep your focus on him and keep faith. You know what I mean? It's going to get all right. It might not get all right right then, but it's going to get all right.
Might not come when you want it, but it's going to time.
And I want you
to say, trouble don't last always.
I want you to stay on the line. I want you to stay on the line because I want Shana to explain about that part where you went to this place. They're supposed to help people with bad credit.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
I went to, I said, okay, my back is up against the wall now, and me and my daughter need a place. I'm staying in unhealthy situations because of my lupus. So I'm going through the Penny Saver, and I go, oh, they help people with bad credit. So I call them. They charge me $150 for the service. Okay, I'm going to pull it out, little pennies I've been saving. Go down. They give me a list. I qualified for permanent housing because I had a job. So I'm going around to these places. I find something that's really nice for my daughter. I felt safe in the neighborhood. Wasn't the best of neighborhoods, but I felt safe.
All right.
So I go, I call them. I said, okay, I found a place. Here's the address. She says, okay, how much is it a month for rent? I told her. She said, okay, you need to bring me the deposit. So I happily go down. And I gave her $800 as a deposit for this apartment. I told her, how long is it going to take me to give my lease? She said, it'll take a week. Okay, no problem. That week turned into 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned into a month. A month turned into 3 months. And I'm calling this lady back and forth, and I'm texting her back and forth. To the point I had to turn them into the Better Business Bureau. To the point I wrote 2 or 3 letters. And the last time I wrote my letter, I told her I will sue you and own you if you don't give me my money back.
Got your money back.
Lo and behold, I get a call. Miss Sterling, you need to come get your, you can come get your money on this date. I said, no, I'm coming to get my money on the date on the letter. She says, Ms. Sterling, we can't do that. Oh, no, you've broke your contract. Let me break it down to you. You've broke this. Do I need to go on? I'm coming to get my money on this day, and I will bring the sheriffs with me. No, Ms. Sterling, just come and get your money. A week later, I went on online to a company called Hot Pads, and I signed my lease in July. And me and my daughter's living in our place. As of today.
God works again.
So by going through all that, are you just going to let anybody come take your spot from you?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My daughter is loving having her own place. My daughter used to be attached to my hip.
Yeah.
She would, if we still would have been in the situation that we was in, she would be on that studio floor right now, yeah. Sleep.
Yeah.
But I told her, you want to go down to Skid Row Studios? She said, uh-uh.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I'm like, walking out the door. Are you sure you don't want to go down to, you can talk tonight? She's like, uh-uh.
Exactly.
So she's staying at home being a teenager.
Yeah. So you hear that, Mo like, so she went through a lot. I think that it turned out about almost a year before they even, before all that stuff went down, right? Almost,
well,
8 months?
Yeah. The whole process before I got my money back from them was about 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to take a deep breath, suck it in, and get busy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was ready to call the sheriffs because I was ready to go beat some ass.
Well, I'm talking about money.
You had my money. You supposed to render me a service. And I'm like, I'm not one of these fools that don't read my contract. I know what the contract stipulate. And when I started throwing contract back on them and she couldn't talk contract to me, I'm like, you don't even know what's in your own contract.
Mm. Yeah, all she knows is just here, just sign.
Just sign it and pay your fee.
But you got to understand, she's just a puppet. Yeah.
No, dear. She was the owner.
Oh, my God. Well, she tried to play dumb to the fact.
That's all right.
Or she just trying to hustle and not do
that. That's all it was because they have a lot of systems set up like that.
Yeah.
Well, she had a transitional housing program, too.
Oh, yes. That's a big prey on things now.
So that's all right. She learned a lesson through Shauna.
Majority of them, all they do is just be like, okay, this is the contract.
Yeah.
Okay, just sign it. They don't even really read the contract. Just sign here and here.
Well, you would think the owner
would know
what she did.
Well, let me go back to what I said.
You don't really know how long she's been owning it.
Dollar Drive. We need $10 million to get some property for the homeless.
So
how much do we need? $100 million? Shauna, you real estate person, right?
Me?
I think it's $100 million we need. How long is it gonna take for us to get it, D?
I don't know.
It's gonna take us a long time to get it. They're gonna put that towards a football stadium.
We're talking about the homeless people getting their own money. We're gonna get our own money.
But you gotta imagine if everybody homeless did just chip in $1.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Chip in just
every day.
$1, yeah. Not even every day.
Once a month.
Right now, if we could collect over the whole United States, I ain't even gonna add the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm just gonna say right here in America, where we got our own homeless problems, where we got our own homeless kids, water problem, things like that. That's disrespect to our country to worry about another country first.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do, though.
How you worried about somebody in Somalia you ain't gonna never see? Oh, if you send me 25 cents a day right now, you can feed little Kimmy and his family.
And we'll send you a picture of him, too.
And yes, we'll send you a picture and you'll get a letter of him.
And we'll send you an update.
And we'll give you a letter from
him. Come on now.
Yeah. I mean, like you just said, every homeless person, you know, fell on different type of situations. Some people want to work.
Yeah.
You know, instead of giving him a sandwich, let him cut your lawn or something. You know, come up there and clean out the attic, you know.
Yeah.
You know, give them something else to do. Come on.
Something constructive. Something.
Come on, sir.
Yeah, we know poverty is everywhere. Poverty is everywhere.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Right now, the major focus should be poverty in the United States of America. You know, we can't even classify ourselves as a high class, a middle class, and a low class. It's only the high and the lows. You know, and in poverty, you know, we are being abused. You know, we all are being abused. We basically just numbers for the head count, you know what I'm saying, for benefit, you know, without the due respect, you know, because without the lower class, it wouldn't be a high class,
right.
You know, and the abuse, you know, and that's something that we all, in poverty, we endure, abuse, you know, we abused by the system, we abused by the paperwork.
We abuse by each other.
You know what? you can go into Pershing Square.
No, we abuse ourselves.
Yeah. You can go into Pershing Square and look at the big bellies, like garbage can. In Pershing Square, like, you can almost like throw trash from one to the other. Like about 20 garbage cans.
Hold on. Get it right. It's the new trash cans, what they're called now. Trash units, not cans.
Oh,
units.
Okay, well, them little nice belly busters. I don't know what they call them. Because, you know, they all, I don't know what it is, like recycle. So I said, you know, we ain't got no trash cans at Gladys Park. They said they refused to bring it down there because the homeless people might hurt themselves. Cause, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
I said, like, it ain't no homeless people at Pershing Square.
Right.
I mean,
you gotta look at the different color of homeless. You gotta listen. You gotta look at that. The different color of the homeless.
Okay.
Okay. That's like up there on Pershing Square right now. If you go out there right now, as a matter of fact, look at the age range. It's not the old people that's homeless now. It's our youth that's homeless.
Yeah.
And they think it's cool.
They
think it's cool to run around with a backpack and don't have no place to go.
Yeah.
They think it's cool.
There's too many of them.
And it's not.
And well, that comes from that system too. You know, foster system.
Oh yeah.
Yes, because the system is set up to.
That's
where
another story in itself.
Yeah, if I father, you're 21, you got to go. Food.
If
can't
I take
be
your
around,
kids,
yeah.
if I take your kids from you, on our technicality, but there's no book that says how kids should be raised. So, but if I take your kids from you, you're gonna damn near kill yourself to get them back, or you're gonna be mentally messed up after we done took through every loop, turn, jump. We know every door you don't open, we're going to find a way to try to close it or make the next one harder.
Yeah. When they come back to, you know what I'm saying, that key word, abuse.
Right. No, that's slavery. That's legal slavery. Come on and adopt little Bobby.
But again, legal slavery. Let me abuse you and program in your mind abusing yourself.
Yeah, but see, a lot of people don't know that when their kids are given up to for adoption. That's just like a slave master. We're going to go look at the babies today, honey.
Yeah. We're gonna pick up the litter.
That's like breeding dogs.
Yeah.
They're gonna have some good organs.
And
real
then
soul.
When they,
I might need a kidney.
Yeah. Explain that I'm brown.
But that's another thing about that too, about the homeless. You know, like they help. Now, you know, I know we were talking about some crazy stuff, but like Dr. Frankenstein, because a lot of people health problem, you know, the homeless people, they always in the health system.
Right.
Now, you know, them doctors need some bodies. To be doing some research on.
That's the one they dump back on the on downtown.
Cut this bull up.
The research bodies.
Yeah.
And then if you look at it, if you read the paper, they have research on who does methamphetamine, who does coke, who smokes
PCP,
marijuana.
The craziest
PCP.
Research.
We're going to take and pay you and give you these drugs to see what the effect it is to you because we are trying to destroy y'all.
Yeah. And they're gonna pay you $500.
Yeah. Okay, now think about
for the mental
okay.
health patients.
They're gonna pay you. They're gonna pay you that one for like $1,500, $5,000. Okay, for a cocaine.
Yeah,
it was a clinical study. Now they wasn't gonna give you no cocaine that was cut up. Okay, they're gonna give you like a $20 hit, $25, $50.
Yeah,
because they gotta see what you say what the side effects is. Now, I'm saying they're giving you pure cocaine. If you last, because now they're going to give you one about this big, you know, by the side. Okay.
You smoking all that. Put this over here. Charlie
will come in.
Hey,
this is mine.
You know your heart going to bust. I said, if you live long enough, I ain't give you $5,000. You ain't going to know what to do with it.
your mind gone, your heart bust. And then look, the $5,000 they give, they got the dope man standing right there at the corner. Hey, got 50s.
You're going to say abuse yourself. Yeah. We're going to program you to abuse yourself.
Yeah, we're going to teach you not to love yourself.
Right on.
And we fall into that sometimes.
Right.
Where we don't love ourselves. You know, and you have to like bow down to God and be like, oh, what's going on? God be like, man, you don't even love yourself. How you hollering at me? Start loving yourself. Then me and you will talk. You know what you're doing wrong for this to be going wrong?
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows sometimes that's like karma, things like that, fate, everything happens for a reason in your life.
Yeah, it does.
And either you're going to grow stronger or you just going to lay down.
They'll take you out.
And right now, it's like they working at us, our people of color so hard, they coming at us every way we can. Huh, when you want clothing, we'll let all the young rappers, Versace, Versace, Versace.
Yeah.
Huh, I'm getting some money and I'm Illuminati. Huh? Yeah. Come on now. So what are you doing right there? You are broadcasting that I support the Illuminati.
Yeah.
But you got these dumb people that think these things is not real.
Yeah.
It's been a battle over commercials. It's been a battle over this whole thing. Since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. You got commercials make you distract you from that stuff, your ball games, everything.
You know.
Come on. You
know, three A's. Accept, adapt, and adjust.
One thing in ancient, you know, they call it Aruba culture, you know, because we talk about spiritual thing. They said that everybody's, you know, from a spiritual point, when they was with God, they asked God to come into the world because they were going to do something.
Yeah.
You know, they were set by God, said, you know, I'm going to go down there and this is what I want to do. But the transition from the spiritual world to the material world, people forget why they're here. Because God gave everybody a gift.
Right.
And he didn't get, you know, to be the crackhead. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's cool. One sin ain't worse than no other.
Right on.
But he didn't give you that gift that I'm going to be the alcoholic. Because I had some parties, I'm going to be alcoholic when I get big. You know, he gave you a gift. That's why I always say people be cheating us. Because you might have to get the gift of the cure AIDS. And you know what I'm saying? You're cheating me. I don't know.
Because right now, I'm back in college. And I went off the other day. Dude showed me a picture of white Jesus. And wait a minute. Can you show me in the Bible where Jesus was white? He said, but. I said, in a conversation.
In the conversation.
Yeah. And I don't even worship Jesus, because Jesus, what, Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, what, the king that ran back then?
Mm-hmm.
See, we've been taught to deceive since the beginning of time.
Right.
That's just like a lot of people don't want to accept or wake up to it. Because things have been changed. If I can get you to do this, what you say? Accept, do what?
Accept, adapt, and adjust. Yeah.
People
think they free, though.
That's what they did with us. They made us accept, adapt, and adjust to their system, to their liking.
Every day. We accept and adapt and adjust into radio programming, television programming, all news media.
The music.
This is what a lot of people don't forget. We, as people of color, we set the standards for America, the United States, the world.
Yeah, so we
because I remember when sagging your pants wasn't cool. Now look at it. Mm. Hold on. Here go the biggest word. Nigga, yes, I said it on the internet.
You said it?
Yes, I did. Yeah, now like everybody that. Wants to be what? My nigga. What are we
all
doing? Racism. We fought for this word. We fought for this word. We did whatever for this word. So if somebody else want to step up under us, people of color, let's step back and let them have that word. Nigga. Yes,
let them have it
and let us move forward as a race.
I like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right on. And I think we got Ms. Michael Jackson in the house. Is Ms. Michael Jackson in the house?
Is she in the house?
Yeah. Oh, and she looks like white.
I'll get my seat up here.
Yeah, so.
That bean in the house. Here you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to... Hey, the song is on, but you gotta put the headphones on to hear it. Listen, if you open that door, she hear it.
Gonna make a change for once in my life.
Right, let me see something.
It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar. Favorite winter cold. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind.
That's what I'm talking about, Ms. Jo
Make
Clark.
That change.
Jo Clark. And like I said, we're pushing back the date for the Skid Row Positive Movement, and we're going to get you the date as soon as we get it. But Ms. Jo Clark, Michael Jackson will be there standing off three times that day. So are you ready for it? Go ahead and talk into the mic and introduce yourself. Tell people who you are.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad to be here. Believe it or not, I am a professional. I was with the former show, Look How's Your Fall, for 30 years. And this is my comeback in about 20 years. And as you can see, I have lost nothing.
Right on.
I'm ready for this. And yes, I am a female portraying a man, and I'm happy to have this gift. And it's definitely a gift from God.
Right.
And I love everyone, and I love everyone that supports me. That I do this because I love Michael. I love the Lord. The Lord has given me this, and that's that.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And what we got to do, we got to spend a little more time, get you on the show, and talk for a little bit more about you. And
oh, boy, there's so much to tell.
That's what I'm saying. I can feel that. I can tell that already.
So much to tell.
Yeah, so, and you're going to be an inspiration to a lot of people, too.
I hope so.
Oh, it's happening.
Thank you. And thank God.
All right, y'all.
Love you.
Love you back.
Bless you.
And we're coming to the end of the show where everybody will get a little information on who they are and how you can reach them. So I'm going to start with Miss Shauna Sterling.
Okay, my name is Shauna Sterling, co-host of the Bobby Buck Show, and I always have an ongoing fundraiser, and by you going there, you can sign up for free and get educational tutorials, tutoring, games, and more, and you can go to www.sterlingfamily1.goyobsn.com. You can email me at shaunasterling@rocketmail.com. Shauna is spelled S-H-A-N-N-A. And my phone number is 323-556-1740 if you would like more information on the things that I'm doing.
All right, there we go.
All right. Yeah, big up Bobby Buck, big up Shauna. Yo, this is Uncle Bean, UNKALBEAN. You can just Google my name, you know what I'm saying, UncleBean.com. If you are artists and you're looking for shows or you're looking for producers, engineers, different things of that nature, Uncle Bean Entertainment, I do all that. You need somebody to help you with writing, speech coaching, and all that. Phone number is 323-907-5465. Blessings to all.
All right. And Miss Jo Clark, we're going to be getting with you. Y'all can go ahead and hit me up on joclarkbobbybuck.com. 213-293-7983. And we're going to get her going with her Facebook and her own website and everything.
God bless you, America.
Oh, yes.
My name is Quick. You can hit me up through Skid Row Street Bar League on Facebook. You can also go to George Hogan on Facebook, and you'll be able to catch everything that I do. I'm a makeup artist. I also do makeup for the young lady that's being Michael Jackson right now.
Thank you.
And I also do makeup for, you know what I mean, different events and all kind of things. You can reach me at Erico 323-901-6293. And just put in for you a permit, and I'll be glad to do your makeup for you.
All right, there you go, y'all. So, yeah, you had the end of the third Bobby Buck Show. And oh, hold on, one more thing.
One important thing. I gotta thank my manager, OG. He's the one that has really started and put it. I would like to thank OG. Listeners probably know who that is. He is my manager, agent, producer at the time, right now, and he has given me, he's believed in me as these people that surround me, the voices that you hear, and I thank each and every one of you for giving me a chance to shine.
All right. And also, Miss Mo Light. How you doing?
Yes.
I'm glad you're still there.
Good.
All right. So you enjoy yourself tonight?
Yes, I did.
All right. You want to give any?
I could have made there in person.
Oh, we get you here next time. It's all good. You got introduced to it. So do you want to leave any information for somebody to contact you? Or?
If you want to contact me, you can hit me up on Facebook at Mo Light, bringing it to the world. Follow me. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay, all right, y'all. So there you have it. Thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah, say, keep the faith, more yes. life.
And I'm going to get you and Shauna. I'm going to get you and Shauna to exchange information, too, and connect y'all two together. Yes. Like I said, we're going to push this movement forward.
Keep your head up, girl. Keep your head up. It's coming.
It's coming.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right, there we have it all now. Right. Thank y'all. Thank everybody for coming in tonight. Bless. And this goes this show for the Bobby Buck Show. Thank you very much.
Log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com. BobbyBuck.com. Log on, log on, log on. Log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com. 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 BobbyBuck.com.